everybody like looks at Easter, and everybody, you know, we celebrate it for a lot of different reasons, but most people would recognize in this country the resurrection of Jesus Christ coming back to life. He was killed, crucified. 3 days later, he came back to life. And so most people would recognize that, but I'll be honest with you, if that doesn't go any further than just that story, then this is really kind of vain. It's really kind of an empty holiday, and that's why Easter eggs and Easter bunnies and candies would just serve you a lot better. As a kid, I grew up in a home where I remember my grandmother, who was a very rough lady, and she never knew her parents. She was an orphan, been in foster care her whole life, and never adopted by anybody. By the time I was born, my grandma, she was a bar fly. She tended a bar, and because of that and that lifestyle, my uncles, my father, all of them began to play some music. And so they would play in bars and do that type of thing. And so it was very common. Every weekend was just, you know, pretty much everybody was addicted. The big thing for them was alcohol. But anyways, my mother, who got pregnant at 14 years old, she birthed my brother when she was 15. My mother went to a Bible study in the projects, and for the first time, she heard that God so loved the world, that we're all born in sin, but God sent his son Jesus Christ and took your sin. He took it and he was buried. And 3 days later, he came back to life. Therefore, Joyce Blake, you could have new life if you would meet Christ. And that day in the projects, my mom asked Jesus to save her. I'm a little boy. So I'm just a little boy, and I'm seeing transformation in the family. My mother and my grandmother never talked. They never got along. So my mom started growing in her faith. And it became pretty evident that I knew that Jesus Christ was alive because I witnessed it in front of me. I seen my mom's life totally change. See, you can't have a resurrection if you don't have a death. The whole good news about coming back to life is because there was no life there, there was death. And my mom, on a Sunday afternoon, church ended, she went up to my grandmother's house and said, I have become a Christian. I am now alive, and I want to ask your forgiveness. It wasn't within the month my grandmother met Jesus Christ, and she too changed. She became alive. I got to witness all this as a kid. So there was something in me, as much as kids, and I didn't care to go to church, but as much as I seen a lot of negative that you don't like about church and religion, I knew there was something real to it. Because I started watching people in the family that had struggled with addictions for years. They lived a horrible life. And I seen them meet Jesus Christ, and there would be a drastic change. I thought, my gosh, they're alive. See, the Bible says this. The Bible says that the way this whole thing started, God put man in the garden, and he had a great relationship with God like it was supposed to be. See, there was no sin. But all of a sudden, there was a choice put before mankind. And when mankind chose to do wrong, to go against God, the Bible said this. If you make that choice, here's what's going to happen to you in the human race. There'll be death on the planet. Most people don't realize at that point in the Bible, mankind would have lived forever. He would have never experienced death. And so that day that Adam chose to sin, there was a separation between mankind and God. And therefore, everybody born after that point in time, we are born into this world as sinners. That's one thing we all have in common today. We're all equal. We're all equally bad. We're all equally at our core in our flesh and our humanness. We're sinners. It didn't start that way. And I want you to know the Bible, even when Jesus comes along in Matthew, he even clues us in. You know, if you die in your sin, you'll spend an eternity in hell. But if you die without your sin, you got to be perfect to get to heaven. Well, who's perfect? Well, there's only one. God himself came down in the form of Jesus Christ. He took our sin. And the Bible says, and the wages of sin leads to what? death. That's the thing that rules and reigns on the planet. Sin and death. And that's really why all sciences, if you look at the medical industry, you know why everybody's living to end that day. Nobody wants that part, right? But sin always leads to death. Always. All men are born to die. The day you're born, you start going downhill. So Jesus Christ comes along, and I just love when he says, I want you to know something, gang. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. See, the word resurrection would be from death, there's a rising again. And then he says, and I'm the life. There's a verse found in John 10:10 where Jesus says, you know, I came to give you life, and not just life, but that you can have life more abundantly. He wants us to have an abundant life, or like real vitality, a real purpose, a fullness of life. It's the thing on the planet right now. It's discouraging walking around seeing people. People have no purpose, do they? Life's rough. I remember the bumper stickers we used to put on our cars that would just said, my gosh, you know, life is a, and then you die. And I'm like, wow, that about sums it up. It's depressing, isn't it? Yes, but it don't have to be. It doesn't have to be. And see, now listen, I'm not talking about just to somebody that's addicted. Because a lot of times we look and people like to say, that lady really needs the Lord. She's addicted, you know. No, the Bible says you're born addicted. You're born in sin. Sin just has different ways of, you know, matter of fact, the number one sin Jesus Christ lays out in the book of Proverbs is he says a proud look, pride. We're all born with that, right? Proud, a proud look. A lying tongue. It's the simple things that you see every child struggle with. Why do they struggle with that? It's their nature. It's their nature. So Jesus Christ comes along and says, now listen to me. This can change. This is the hope for the planet. There's got to be a resurrection. There's got to be, the wages of sin is death. So there's death. No spiritual life in people that are born on the planet. Now people want to be religious. They know there's something missing there. People will do their part and try to even be good or make money, put on the morality. They do all that because something in it, they know they were born for this. But the Bible says Jesus Christ is the resurrection. So listen to me this morning. Here's what makes the Bible different than all other books. It's the book of truth. There's no other way to have spiritual life outside of Jesus Christ. None. It's a facade. Jesus Christ, he says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. See, the resurrection is a person. It's Jesus. It's not like you have to do a bunch of deeds and give a little bit of money or get baptized, go to church. People think this type of thing. Now, people that are resurrected, they end up doing some of those things for sure. But the real life is found in Jesus Christ. And then he just don't want you to resurrect. He wants you to live like a vital, a life of purpose, of vitality, of fullness. That's what he says in John 10:10. At the beginning, it wasn't so, right? In Genesis 2, the Bible says, if you take of that fruit, dude, you're surely going to die. Well, folks, when Adam took of that fruit, he didn't drop dead. He lived. But see, he did die. He died a spiritual death. He died a spiritual death. That's why him and God separated. And he got booted out of the garden. He realized he was naked. All innocence was gone. So surely you will die. And then the Bible says over in Hebrews 9 that it is appointed a man once to die. All of us in this room have an appointment with death. You ain't going to do nothing to change that. You got an appointment with death. The beautiful part about Revelation is when this all closes out and history begins to close, the Bible says Jesus Christ will sit on the throne. And in Revelation 21:4, one of the biggest things gets shouted out to the universe. And that is, and now there will be no more death. It's over. Because sin's done. The consequences of that is death. Jesus Christ sits on the throne and it ends. But for now, we're in the in-between. Death reigns on this planet. And the wages of sin is always death. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is where we get the gospel at. The Bible defines it clearly. It says Jesus Christ came and he died and he buried. And then the thing we celebrate today is that he came back to life. People don't come back from the dead. But Jesus did. He proved himself to be God. And then he says, put your faith and trust in me. And then I will give this spiritual life to you. That's what he wants to do. He wants to give us spiritual life. Most people I know, they'll tell you, you know, we all know people. You're like, I got a ton of relatives like that. I'm said, dude's breathing, but he's not alive. He's empty. Every time I talk to her, she don't know if she's on foot or horseback. They don't know what life is about. They have no life in them. But when Jesus Christ comes along, he says, here's what I'll do. He says, in death, I will swallow it up in victory. That's exactly what he did. He took the wages of our sin as death. He took that and he swallowed it for you and me. And so the way we now can have spiritual life is because of what Jesus Christ has done. So Jesus Christ took the death certificate to give us a birth certificate. See, he died for me. And then he says in John chapter 3 that, Mike, if you'll put your faith and trust in me, just like your grandma, you've seen your mother, I'll give you spiritual life. And I become born again. Folks, this is a spiritual birth. It's a spiritual birth. The crazy thing about Easter in this passage, I am the resurrection and the life. Check this out, gang. Jesus said this before he resurrected. It's in John chapter 11. You know when he said this? He said it in the context of one of his friends. His name was Lazarus. And he was dying. And they said, man, we need to go get Jesus because Lazarus is sick. So let me point out a couple things to you in John chapter 11. In John chapter 11, at the very beginning, verse 1, Lazarus was sick. Your brother was sick, it says in verse 2. In verse 3, Jesus, the guy you love is sick. It keeps saying this. He's sick, he's sick. Well, Jesus comes on the scene in verse 4 and says, but this sickness is for God's glory. Hang on, guys, because this sickness is for a greater cause. So you need to note something. Lazarus was sick. Now listen. Before sin ever entered the planet, there was no sickness on planet Earth. I don't know if you realize that. There was no disease. Everything was perfect. Now, I'm not saying, like, some people think, like, if somebody gets sick or they get cancer, like, oh my gosh, wonder what they did. Well, no. The way it happens is when sin entered the planet and everything went haywire, now everything's diseased. All this negative is a result of sin. Not necessarily your sin. I don't want you to think like you did something and the God of the universe is putting the sickness on you, you know. That can't happen. You see examples of that in the Bible. But I'm talking about big picture. Big picture. Sickness came in the world when sin entered the world. And so guess what? Everybody gets sick. Everybody. When you lead to death, you know what happens? Very rarely, sometimes people get in an accident, they'll die immediately. Most people go through some suffering. Most people goes because their body starts ailing and then failing and then they end up dying. But the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of God's glory. All have sinned. Therefore, guess what? We're sick. We're all riddled with sin. My daughter battled cancer, and there are some doctors that believe everybody has it inside of them. Your body's just able to keep those renegade cells in check. And some people, I've heard this, it's just a theory, and not everybody believes this. But like that everybody, if anybody lives long enough, you'll eventually get, the cancer will come out. It will. There's some thoughts on that, but inside that, like, you know, the cells that are cancerous and diseased will start multiplying faster than your good cells in your body. But most people can just keep that at bay. I know this much. The Bible does teach we're born to die. I know that. Here in this story, we find that Lazarus was sick in John chapter 11. He was sick and he was getting ready to die. But let me point a few things out, gang. In verse 5 of John 11, it says, but Jesus loved Lazarus Martha and Mary, the brothers and sisters. I want you to know something today. Jesus loves. He loves you today. While we were yet sinners, he died for us. That's love. He loved us at our worst. Here Lazarus is sick, and they assumed because Jesus was his friend, like Jesus was just going to heal this guy, like he shouldn't die. And that's why several times in this story, Martha said, Jesus, if you'd have been here, there wouldn't have been no death. Mary comes along later. Jesus, if you'd have been here, there'd have been no death. Death's been going on for years, thousands of years up to this point. Then a group of people came together and said, man, if Jesus Christ would have been here in verse 37, he shouldn't have died. Like Jesus like would have healed him of his sickness. The Bible clearly states, though, that Lazarus was dead. Matter of fact, the Bible says, if you read this story, Jesus delayed his coming so that everybody would be assured that there was no life in him. Lazarus was sick, man. And therefore, he died. When Jesus entered the scene, all of a sudden he comes in and everybody's talking about it. Everybody's upset. They said a bunch of Jews gathered together for the funeral. Everybody's very upset and they're looking at Jesus like, man, Jesus, he didn't have to die. Well, we know that Jesus, if he chooses, can heal a sickness. But what Jesus needed to do is prove to a whole group of people around there that death is nothing for him. Matter of fact, when Jesus talks of death many a times, he says it in the phrase of sleep. Ain't that odd? Death for you and me is like, man, can we ever get over it? I mean, if you live over the age of 90, people are like, wow, what a life they've lived, man. That don't happen very often. The average lifespan of a person is a little lower than that. But Lazarus was dead. Jesus came on the scene, and I love where it says that it's the smallest, shortest verse in the English, and that is Jesus wept. People are sad. This was his friend. And Jesus, with all the empathy and all of his heart, he weeps. And they're like, man, Jesus did love him, didn't he? Yeah, but you know, I want you to know something. Jesus has also got some tears because there's a whole group of people that don't know that he's the resurrection and the life, even though he already told them. He says, I am the resurrection. I am the life. Jesus in verse 39. Is everybody tracking with me on this? In verse 39, I know we don't have a whole lot of time to flip to the passage. Jesus goes to the tomb. And as he goes there, he's like, well, you know, it's time now. He's getting ready to speak up. And in verse 39, he's getting ready to call him out and call him back from the dead. And the sisters are like, hey, Jesus, you don't really go there because he's been dead for 4 days. He stinks. That's what it says. He stinketh. It's just funny that Jesus don't even respond to that. Folks, because here's why. Jesus knows we stink. He is not intimidated by your stink. A lot of times people are like, man, I can't go to church because I've done this or I've done that. We're born in sin, dude. What are you talking about? We're all sick. The wages of our sin and our sickness is going to lead to death. That's what the Bible says. But Jesus Christ said, I am the resurrection and I am the life. And I just want you to know this morning. He is not intimidated by you. He's not intimidated by your failure, your flaws, because you have them. Because we're born with them. All of us got them. They come out in different ways. Jesus Christ, the Bible says in the next verse, in verse 43, they're like, man, he stinks. He's been dead a while. And Jesus is like, really? And with a loud voice, the Bible says, Jesus, with a loud voice, he says, Lazarus, and he says, come forth. And to everybody's surprise and dismay, Lazarus, wrapped in his grave clothes, walks out of this tomb. He's been dead for 4 days. And the Bible says this in the next verse, verse 44. Take his grave clothes and loose him and let him go. So he comes out looking like a mummy because they mummified him for his death. He comes out in these grave clothes and people are like, they're just standing there. Jesus is like, loose him. Let him go. He just brought life into something that was completely dead. It shouldn't shock us living here in the Midwest, because we're now getting ready to enter a season of planting for agriculture. And the Bible says in the book of Matthew what the miracle about this whole season is. You take a seed that is dead. It's dead. And like burying it, you put it in the dirt. And supernaturally, it grows fruit. And Jesus set that up this way. And the Bible says, yeah, unless that kernel falls to the ground and dies, you ain't getting nothing. It's got to be dead. That way you know. That's why very rarely do you're going to find somebody in the farming industry. So you're going to find even tribal people all over the world that live and deal more in nature. Very rarely will you find somebody that doesn't believe in God, a higher power, believe in the spiritual. You know why? Because they've seen it their whole lives. They take something so dead and dried up and all of a sudden planted, and out comes beautiful fruit and brutal, beautiful life. This is what Jesus did for Lazarus. Now listen, if you've never met Jesus Christ, this resurrected life he wants to give you. Some people are disciplined. Some people are going to be like, that's it. I'm going to stop eating candy bars. I'm too fat. I'm going to work out every day. Some people do it. I'm the type of guy that does it for 2 weeks, like religiously. And then I'm I fall off the wagon at that point. But some people got good discipline. They're like, I'm going to quit doing this. I got to get off drugs. You know, and other people, they try their darndest. They're like, I can't catch a break. Why can't I do this? Because you don't have life in you. You don't have the juice inside of it. You have no fuel in that tank to get anywhere. But Jesus offers it. It's spiritual life. It's the resurrected power he wants to put inside of you. That's where you'll find the victory. Not in being so incredibly disciplined. Guys, I want you to watch a short segment of a video. I'll probably cut this one short because of time. But go ahead and play that next video up there, Jordan.
When I first heard Tell Your Heart to Beat Again, it had such an amazing impact on my heart. You know, not only in its lyrical content, but then when I heard the story behind it, it really changed the way I looked at this song. There was a pastor in Ohio who had a heart surgeon that went to his church. But one of the things that this pastor wanted to do was he wanted to see a heart surgery take place. And when the day of the surgery came, they rolled the patient in and they began to cut her chest cavity open. They took her heart out and they began to repair it. One of the things they do is they have to restart the heart again before they close the chest cavity. And as they began to do the procedures to start the heart wouldn't start. Finally, the doctor did something so out of textbook and not written down. It's just something that you really don't do. And he got down on his knees. He said, Mrs. Johnson, this is your doctor. He said, we have fixed your heart. We have repaired it. There's nothing wrong with your heart. Miss Johnson, if you can hear me, I need you to tell your heart to beat again. And her heart began to beat. And why do I share this story with you? Because the great physician has fixed your heart and my heart. But I find it interesting that sometimes we allow the voice of the enemy to whisper louder than the voice of our Father. And it seems like some of these voices tell us that, you know what, that situation we'll never recover from. Or what that person did, we can never forgive again. But I'm here to let you know that you can forgive again. You can get back up again. You can move forward with your life. And you don't have to walk with a limp. It's simply like this doctor said to this lady. This lady had to come into agreement. The heart was repaired. God has fixed your problem. Your heart is fixed. But you have to come in agreement with God. You know, I look at my story and I look at how I went through loss and how I had to get myself back up. When I look at the pain of my past, it doesn't sting like it used to. But I look back and I see, look what the Lord has done. And I know God wants to do the same for you. I want you to begin to hope again. He wants you to believe again. He wants you to trust again. The great physician, our Father, through Jesus, wants you to tell your heart to beat again.
Life you knew
in a thousand pieces on the floor. And words fall short in times like these, when this world drives you to your knees. You think you'll never gonna get back to the you that used to be. So tell your heart to beat again, and close your eyes and breathe it in. Let the shadows fall away, step into the light of grace. Yesterday is a closing door, you don't live there anymore. Say goodbye to where you've been, and tell your heart to beat again. Just let that word wash over you. It's alright now. Love's healing hands have pulled you through. So get back up, take step one. Leave the darkness, feel the sun. Because your story's far from over, and your journey's just begun. So tell your heart to be. Close your eyes and breathe it in. Let the shadows fall away. Step into the light of grace. Yesterday is a closing door. You don't live there anymore. Say goodbye to where you've been, and tell your heart to beat again. Let every heart. Close your eyes and breathe it in. Let the shadows fall away. Step into the light of grace. Yesterday is a closing door. You don't live there anymore. Say goodbye to where you've been, and tell your heart to beat again. Your heart.
Gang, this is a song that became like popular. It actually is older than you realize. This guy, when this guy came out with it, it was actually written by Phillips, Craig, and Dean. What I love about this story is this lady's heart, like, was they were massaging it and the surgery done, and then, hey, you need to tell your heart to beat again. And what it reminds me of is it reminds me like of this passage when Lazarus was coming forth. He said, take his grave clothes and loose him and let him go. So, first of all, the first group of people I want to talk to today, if you don't have spiritual life, that's what Jesus did. He bled and died for you, man, to give you spiritual life. Life starts on the inside, and the Bible says your spirit is born dead. Everybody. I'm not pointing, it's not because of the bad things you did. Some people think like, my gosh, man. I've been pretty rotten, you know, and some people would say, I'm a pretty good guy. Okay, proud man. You might think you're a pretty good guy, but you're born in sin like the rest of us. Jesus Christ wants to give you life. He wants to resurrect you and make your spirit alive. He's taken your sin. He's taken your death. Put your faith and trust in him. You'll have spiritual life. He's the resurrection and the life. So he'll resurrect you, and then he wants you to live a life to the fullness of giving you some real purpose. I wanted to play this video because I think there's a lot of us that have met Jesus Christ. You know, the very reason I was drawn to Jesus Christ as a young man, because I seen the resurrection in Grandma. I seen the resurrection in my mom. I started seeing it in people around me. I knew there was something to it. I seen it. And guess what? Us as Christians, some of us claim that we're Christians, but we live like everybody else. Let me tell you what we've done. We slip back into our old patterns and ways, and we like to put our grave clothes back on. We default back to my human reasoning, the ruts that I've already created in my life, the habits. And so there's a lot of Christians out there that people like, Christians ain't no different than anybody else. I know what you're saying, but they're supposed to be. They're supposed to be. We're human, though. We do mess up, don't we? And so I just wanted to, Christian, today, you're the second group I want to speak to on this Easter Sunday morning. This resurrection power that Jesus Christ has proven when he resurrected from the grave, he proves it in the life of Lazarus by resurrecting him from the grave. And guess what? If you read the next chapter in your Bible, John 12, a group of people came and it says, like, oh, they're coming because Jesus is in the house. They want to see Jesus, the Son of God. And a lot of them says, well, you're right, I wanted to see Jesus, but I got to see Lazarus because I can't believe he's alive. They came because of Lazarus' testimony. His changed life. He was dead, and now he's alive. Matter of fact, if you keep reading in that chapter, you'll find out the Pharisees got together and said, before Jesus Christ was even talked about, they said, I think we ought to kill Lazarus. They're like, why kill Lazarus? Because he's back from the dead, and people are starting to follow Jesus because of him. Do you see that, what a changed life does? Christians, if we would live this resurrected life, instead of wearing the old grave clothes that we've always put on, the same old Mike, living the same old way, I'm supposed to be loosed from those grave clothes, and I'm supposed to be set free. And the Bible says, if you read this passage, chapter 11 and chapter 12, it says the word started spreading like wildfire. You know why? Because people, and by the way, we had a guy visit this church a couple weeks ago, and he pointed over at one of you, and he said, I can't believe she's in church. He goes, I knew her from her past. It's a good thing she's here. I said, dude, Jesus resurrects people from the dead. She's as rotten as you, as rotten as me. But she's got spiritual life. He was blown away by that. And guys, people should be blown away at the newness of life that we have. And a lot of times they're not. You know why churches ain't full anymore? Why? Who wants to get up early and go on Sunday morning? I would only go if I was alive or I was getting life. That's what church is supposed to be about. So listen here, sinner in the room, if you don't know Jesus Christ, everybody's born in sin. I just want you to know the call of the gospel is this. Jesus loves you, gave his life for you, took your sin, resurrected victorious. He took your sin and death. So today, you could become a Christian. It's that simple. It's a prayer of faith. Jesus has done all the work. Being a Christian don't mean you have to be perfect. Jesus was perfect. And then you'll want to be like him. There will be change in your life, for sure. And some of you, you have no real purpose and drive deep down. What's life going to lead you to? What are you living for? I always think, am I living for retirement? Because everybody I know that lives for that retirement day, they think like, what are they going to do? Just enjoy yourself? What are you going to travel in between dialysis appointments? Yeah, that's how it works, man. Your body's getting older. You know, it's just not going to be what you think. Newness of life. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, guys, I live. Yet not I. It's Christ that lives in me. So Jesus Christ wants to give you life today. So if you do not know Jesus Christ today, being a Christian starts right there. Inviting Jesus Christ in. This resurrection life he gives you, and he gives it to you on the inside. On the inside, that's the beginning. Do you got it? So if you don't know Jesus in this room, you need to know Christ. You need to become a Christian. Then you can grow in your faith. And Christian, I wanted to give a shout out to you today at the end of this message, and that is this. You need to tell your heart to beat again. You don't live no resurrected life. You're on your cell phone and playing games like the rest of the planet. And yet you claim to be alive. You ain't alive. Jesus said he gave you the resurrection and the life to live fully alive, to be spiritually exactly where you need to be. So today, Christian, I maybe hope this Easter of 2024, you can say that was the day I peeled off those grave clothes again. I was living like a mummy, man. But Jesus says, come forth, man. Come forth. Because guess what? The world needs some hope right now. The world needs to see. The world needs more Helen Blakes that was raised in a terrible life. And Jesus Christ gave her life. And then everybody in the neighborhood went to grandma. Everybody. Everybody in the family went to grandma. Who was the spiritual giant in our family and our lives? It was grandma. It was my mom. We need more people like that. Neighborhoods at work, the people like, something's different about that guy. I'll tell you what's different about this guy. It's Christ in me. I am alive. I am spiritually alive and in tune to the Creator. And without Jesus, don't fool yourself. You have no connection there. That line is closed up for you. People think differently, but you can think, I'm telling you what the Bible says. So gang, let's bow our heads right now. And in closing, I just want to tell you, man, you need Jesus Christ. This is what the Bible says, and I'm a Bible guy. So the gospel is the good news. Jesus loves you and gave his life for you. Have you ever met him? You know, Jesus Christ was crucified. He died and resurrected from the grave. But guys, it means nothing if you never receive it. Right? It'd be like you have a $1 million check at home that came in the mail and you never open it. You never take it to the bank and deposit it. Deposit this one today. This is it. You could have spiritual life today. The Bible says because of your sin, you're going to die. You're going to burn forever. But Jesus Christ took that for you. Meet him and he'll be the redemption. He'll be your propitiation, the payment made. Is there anybody in this room today? We're all praying, man, got our heads bowed. Is there anybody here today that would say, I need that. I need that life. I can tell I don't have spiritual life. And I'm not saying your life, don't even think because your life right now don't completely suck. That's what some people, well, I'll wait till what, your life sucks one day? And then you'll say, well, now I can see I need Jesus. Hey, you're born in the suck, man. We're born, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So does anybody in this room today, would you want to raise your hand and say, I think I need to become a Christian. I don't think I've had that spiritual life. Just put your hand up. I'm going to be praying for you. Just put your hand up if you'd say, I need Christ. I'm not a Christian. There is something I'm missing. There is something, and I'm telling you, this is it. This is simply it. Anybody? I'm going to say me. I need Christ. I'm telling you, he loves you. He wanted you to be here today to hear the message. He loves you so much, he wants you to resurrect. You know, he wants to bring life into you. Hey, Christian, maybe now as we're praying, has God convicted you today that you would say, my gosh, I've been resurrected, but I've strapped on my grave clothes again. I'm not living this supernatural life. Has God convicted you today to maybe say, hey, tell your heart to beat again, dude. It's been made alive. You just got grave clothes on. Is there a Christian in the room that you might say, here's my testimony. I'm taking some grave clothes off today. I'm sick of living a normal life. You're not supposed to live a normal life. You're supposed to be like Lazarus. You should be a magnet for people to come to Jesus because you've been made alive. Anybody want to raise your hand and just out of a confession and say, that's me. I'm taking off some grave clothes. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Yes. I put grave clothes back on. I'm supposed to be fully alive. Jesus, thank you so much. Thank you for your word today. Lord, thank you for this Sunday. We'd like to just acknowledge that Easter is you coming back to life. But Lord, it don't mean nothing unless we've come back to life. God, you've changed many a people in this room. God, you've changed me. It's because of this resurrected power. You've given a spiritual life. And I know you want to do it again. Lord, I want to pray for the men and women in this room that ain't quite sure if they're saved, if they know you. And I pray today, Lord, they might contemplate your words, that they need you. They need to confess you as their Savior. And God, I want to pray for the believers in the room. Lord, we wrap these grave clothes back on because we get comfortable. And Lord, I pray that we rip those things back off today like a Band-Aid, man. We will rip it off and go forth. God, use the people in this building to draw people to yourself. Like Lazarus, I pray that people would want to come here just because of them and their changed life. God, I want to thank you for the privilege of seeing relatives in my life and in my world that have been made alive. Lord, we love you today. Thank you. Thank you for not just dying. Thank you for not staying on the cross. Thank you for leaving the tomb, Lord. Thank you for resurrecting, because we would have no hope at all. It's in your name we pray. Amen.